Game of Microphones is brought to you by CMG Podcasts.
What you are about to hear is a hyper-condensed version of Game of Microphones Episode 109, covering Game of Thrones Season 7, The Dragon and the Wolf. Comprised of highlights and bloopers from our full show, clips are out of context and may be out of sequence. For more, go to gameofmicrophones.com and subscribe anywhere you get your podcasts. Spoilers ahead.
What did they do to you? Doesn't matter. That's not how it ends for you, brother. You know who's coming for you. You've always known.
Riding their dead horses. Hunting with their packs of pale spiders big as hounds. It's your hosts, Sir Duncan the Fearsome. And Lady Rachel of House Fox. You're listening to Game of Microphones.
In the nick of time.
That is true statement.
I'll get it out before the new season comes out, for sure.
Yes, you will. I have faith in you. Man. Jamie's like, dude, we don't have a fortnight. If the North falls, like, we're all fucked.
We're fucked.
Girl, our child is not going to be born if we don't deal with this threat.
Yeah.
Like, what are you talking about? Yes.
Right. She's like so stupid, but also like so, you know, smart at the same time about some things. Like she has Euron pretend to freak out and leave when it's like an excellent plan to like sneak off and go get the Golden Company, you know, and like she's doing slick things and making astute observations while at the same time, like she's like, she sees all the details, but she misses the big picture. You know what I mean?
Exactly. She can't put all the details together to see like the actual picture in front of her.
We bought ourselves a big army. She's like 20,000 men, horses, elephants, I believe.
Yeah, that was a crazy line.
Yeah. Are we going to see war elephants in season 8?
I hope so.
Yeah.
We got to see one of them, like a kraken, a big giant spider, or elephants.
I'm hoping we get an army of ice spiders, an army of war elephants, Nymeria and her army of direwolves.
Oh my God.
And all three dragons at least a few times.
Yes. Blow the budget, HBO.
Blow the budget. Just poo. Do you really think Euron Greyjoy got scared and ran away? Euron fucking Greyjoy? Dude, he sailed over to Essos to pick up the Golden Company and come back under the cover of being terrified, you know, and everybody bought it. And I was like, oh my God, that was so slick. So they must have had this plan for, she's like, listen, Euron, for some reason, we don't know why they want to meet us. We don't know what they have. Like if they have something to show us, we don't know about that. We don't know what the deal is, but you're going to think of some reason to abandon me during the proceedings, right? And make me seem like I'm in a position of weakness. Because when you're strong, you act weak. When you're weak, you act strong, you know? Art of war.
Yes, yes.
So she's like, no one walks away from me. And I'm like, oh, spoke too soon, Cersei, because Jaime is about to walk away from you.
Yep. That's more like treason, yeah. But okay. Yeah, okay, then, Cersei.
Yeah, then he's like, well, I pledged to ride north, and I intend to honor that pledge. And that's when she says, and that will be treason.
Treason?
Yeah. Disobeying your queen's command, fighting with her enemies. What would you call it?
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, like, he's like, this is
we're talking
bullshit.
About grammar. We have way more, big, like, larger problems in grammar.
Also, and, like, you're just not listening to what anybody else has to say. So even if you're asking me what my opinion is, it doesn't matter to you. Like, you know? It's like,
yeah, you're just being a giant
belligerent.
Bitch.
Yeah. Yeah. So he starts walking away and she repeats herself. I told you no one walks away from me. Yeah. And he's like, are you going to order him to kill me? Cause Gregor like steps in front of him, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm like, oh my God.
Give the order then.
When I first watched it, she like nods her head.
She does. She gives Gregor the order And this look flashes across Jamie's face as Gregor draws his sword and his eyes sort of like flicker, like he half blinks in astonishment at just the betrayal.
I don't believe
the person he loves most in the world ordering him to be executed. And he calls her bluff and says, I don't believe you.
Yeah.
Dude, that's twice in one episode. She threatened, you know, two times in the same episode. First, Tyrion says, give the order. And then Jaime says, give the order then. They both fucking... She threatens to kill both of her brothers in this episode.
I know. It's
that's
crazy.
Fucking
she's
nuts,
she's
dude.
Lost her mind.
Yeah. With the death of Tommen, like her moral compass is just gone. Oh, man. Two episodes in a row now. Cersei first mentions Bronn by name, and now Bronn mentions Cersei by name. It's the first time these two characters have been, like, connected to one each other, and I don't like it, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
Bronn is unaware that Cersei has singled him out for punishment just last episode.
Yeah, so, you know, he's pretty proud of himself. He's totally patting himself on the back that two traitors' heads are coming right through their door.
Yep.
She can lop them both off and throw them into the Blackwater.
And Bronn is blunt and self-oriented as ever. And Tyrion's like, it's good to see you again.
Yeah. I left this shit city because I didn't want to die in it.
Am I going to die in this shit city? So good.
You might.
Yeah. Tyrion's just straight up with him.
Sandor is just like, dude, fuck this. And he goes and stands right in front of his brother.
Yeah, he can't take his eyes off of the mountain. He's just like, this is, you know, he just needs to get closer, A, to see what the fuck happened, and B, to confront him, you know? And he just walks right up to that dais, and the mountain just comes right out to meet him. And I'm wondering, is he knowingly coming out to meet Sandor as his brother, or is he just doing what he's supposed to do and protecting Cersei from whoever this is? Is he thinking enough to know, you know, like that Sandor is even
there? I think he knows
there?
It's his brother.
Right, because there was that time where Jaime like insulted him, like, does he even know what we're saying right now?
Exactly.
And he kinda, like turns towards
him. He listens. Because to Qyburn's point, when he first introduces him, like, this is, you know, Sir Gregor Clegane.
Right. He's Gregor Clegane.
Yeah, he's taken a vow of silence. So just because he's not speaking does not mean he doesn't understand.
Right. But at the same time, it's like, is that actually true? Has he taken a vow of silence, or is that a cover because he's undead and no longer talks?
Oh, you know what I mean? You know what? I never even thought of it that way.
Oh, yeah. I thought that was like maybe a public explanation to explain why this guy isn't saying anything.
Oh,
when he's really, really like a necromancy abomination. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And dude, he looks fucked.
You're even uglier than I am now.
Yeah. Yeah. It seems to be like a recurring theme in season 6 and 7.
Yeah, for sure.
Or maybe just season 7. I don't know. I'm losing track at this point. It's all blending together.
I know, seriously.
So what do you have for your number 3?
Let's see.
Oh, man. We got so many good things to talk about in this episode.
My number 3 is the revelation.
Me too.
Okay, okay,
the
cool.
Truth.
Yes.
Sam and Bran, the ultimate intelligence combo.
Yeah. Right.
So Bran is just chilling as usual in the dark room,
just
brooding
like,
Stannis or Jon. And he's sitting there looking into the fire, which I thought was interesting. Just the idea of Bran looking into a fire sort of evokes imagery of two supernatural powers facing off with each other. The Weirwood
network.
Yeah, exactly. The ice network, the fire Wi-Fi.
This scene was so hard because you know it's coming.
You know,
and it's
incest,
like, you know that
I mean.
It's incest, but you want desperately for them to like get together because they don't know it's incest.
Right. How so. You got to be a really good writer to get like 99% of the world rooting for
it's
incest.
Like, I
right?
don't want to like it, but I do. And it drives me crazy.
It's hilarious. And it's just a balance of priorities again, you know?
Yeah, it's, you know, and Jaime talks a lot about this with Brienne. It's like when there's so many oaths to keep,
right.
Like you're bound to break one
honor
of them.
Honor your father, honor your king. What happens when your king asks you to kill your father? You know,
like, what do you do?
So it's like this Romeo and Juliet-esque tragedy with star-crossed
completely.
Lovers from opposite warring families. You know, a tale that ends in tragedy, a dead prince, a dead wife and mother. both Romeo and Juliet dead at the end of that story, spoiler alert, a destiny lost and shattered to the winds of time.
I love that connection. That's great.
Just one shred of hope left behind in this case, hidden and protected and secreted away to the north, a king hidden as a bastard. It's fucking epic.
I'm sure it's fucking really awkward for Emilia Clarke too, because she like knows these people outside of the show. And it's like, yeah, like our genitals touched and my boobs were on your husband's chest. And
sorry about that. Kind of,
yeah, it's just, I can't help but like look at it from that perspective sometimes.
It's so funny. Bran's just like, he needs to know, you know, we need to tell him. And like, fuck, he does need to know.
Like, no, don't tell him. Don't do it.
Oh, man.
We hear a dragon screech.
Oh, man.
And it's like, oh, no. And it comes flying out from the darkness.
Dude, so fast.
It's super fast. Okay, so did you notice? I was curious. He is able to blow flames longer than the other dragons, in my opinion.
I feel like he's now exponentially stronger. That like now it's ice magic combined with fire magic, and he's like even more powerful than Drogon. I'm going to make a prediction right now. I feel like Viserion, undead Viserion, is going to kill Drogon.
Oh, no.
I know.
No. Oh, God. Drogon would come in, spit his fire. It would go, I mean, it spit for a long time, but then it would stop and he would fly up and then he would spit again, spit the fire. And Viserion,
he's like
just,
the Energizer dragon. He just keeps going.
Yeah,
and going.
It never stops.
Yeah. And we get these like, as he's just blasting unlimited supply of this icy flames, we get these awesome close-ups of his face. And he's like, we get this crazy sound. And the fire is just like,
I love that it's blue flame.
Yeah. Oh my God. A couple of those shots.
So now we have blue fire. Now we have green fire and red fire.
Yeah, totally. Very interesting. And his head is just kind of like, like going back and forth and just spraying the flames. And we get this amazing sound of his screeching as he's doing it. And these blazes of blue flames are just like these gargantuan blasts are just penetrating all the way through the wall and just shooting out the other side.
I know. And Tormund and Beric are standing there like in total fucking disbelief.
Yeah.
I love Tormund. He's like, run! Just like, yeah. But in fairness to Cersei, she doesn't believe any of this bullshit.
It seems like nonsense. Like she says, I don't think this is serious at all. It's just another bad joke, you know, like, and she says, it's like, what did the maester say? A child surviving beyond the wall with the help of a magical raven.
And I love Dany. Like she rolls her eyes. She's just it's like, she takes this like breath in through her nose and she's just like, fucking stupid bitch. So I thought when I first watched it, it's like, I wonder if there's some like magical spell over King's Landing that like doesn't allow their necromancy to work in this area.
Yeah. And the audience is wondering, is it dead? You know, is this all for nothing? That whole mission, is it a failure?
The box over.
Yeah. And we learned that it was just playing dead and like just waiting for its moment to strike.
Oh my God.
As it animates and jumps out of the box and goes screeching
like,
at Cersei.
Flies to the back of her chair. Man. So like her like demeanor completely changes 180 degrees.
Moment of real panic. And interestingly, the mountain does nothing. You'd expect the mountain to step forward and intercede.
Oh, I didn't
Cersei's
notice
behalf.
That. I know Jamie stepped forward. I didn't realize the mountain didn't step forward.
Yeah, like everybody is just in shock.
Maybe he was like, oh, a fellow brother.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I know that you brought this up like way, way back. Is there's the fight or flight or like be
or
frozen.
Freeze. Yeah, fight or flight or freeze.
I'm a freezer for sure.
I'm a refrigerator. I'm always cool.
And even Varys.
Oh, man.
I mean, even the look on Varys's face.
Right, because Varys
like,
hasn't seen it yet either, you know? As much as he loves things in boxes, he hasn't, you know, gone and opened the box himself yet. Tyrion in a box, Sorcerer in a box. Dick in a box.
Dick in a box.
I'm wise enough to know when a gift keeps given.
I'll have to have Dave record his zombie screech.
Oh, yeah, do
it. It's so good. I cannot emanate it at all, but sure, yeah, Dave, I wanna hear it. He does it all the time to scare me, and it drives me crazy.
Awesome. He points out that, like, if we don't win this battle, that is what is going to become of every one of us. We're all going to be turned. And if that's the fate of everyone, that means Hodor is one of those. And I want to see him, man. We're going to see
Hodor. Hodor is coming back.
He's got to, right? So he's like, fuck this. Can they swim? John's like, no. So he's like, yeah, good. I'm going back to the island that I came from. Screw you guys. I'm going home. You know? And everybody's like, whoa, as like this big tough guy is telling him, like, listen, I've been around the entire world. I've been player hated, and you know, I don't know what, I don't know why, but this fucking terrifies me. And it's the only thing I've ever seen that scares me. And I got to get the hell out of here, basically, because I don't play that shit. You guys can deal with this. I'm going to my island where I'm safe.
I love that he goes up to Danny. He's like, I'm going to go to my island. You should go back to yours. And when all this shit is over, you and I are going to make babies together.
Yeah. He gives her like this look, like, like a little nod. And she kind of like, but the more immediate problem is that we're fucked. Like, what the fuck? Like, we're fucked.
Super fucked.
So he runs into Jamie here. And Tyrion's like, you spoke with her, like convinced her to meet with me. And Jamie clarifies, I spoke at her until she kicked me out. She thinks I'm an idiot trusting you. A lot of people seem to think that. So will he follow through and redeem himself, or will he fall? Will love become the death of duty again for Jamie? And will he end up aligning himself again with Cersei in some desperate moment? And he turns and starts walking towards the mountain. And this is the most ballsy thing anybody has done in this entire series, is walked towards the mountain and said, do it. And I was like, oh my God, this is fucking nuts. And he turns back to Cersei and says, say the word, you know, just like Jamie, give the order.
Say it.
Yeah, say it. And oh my God, a pause.
And she can't do it. Yeah. She can't fucking do it.
Ecstasy and anger and power and shock all fill her face simultaneously. And she hesitates. And like you said, she just can't do it. She grimaces and turns away, unable to give the command. And like, isn't this what she's dreamt of for all of this time? And now in the moment she knows, like, is it that she feels sympathy and she won't do it? Or is it because she can't do it? She knows that part of her bigger plan revolves around Tyrion surviving, because this would trigger war instantly and she can't have that yet. So as much as she wants to do it and as much as she may have done it, she knows she can't do it. And as it comes across as maybe she feels sympathy and maybe she chooses not to do it, but I think that strategically she knows she can't do it. And that's what is upsetting her, is that she has the opportunity here and she can't do it because it would sacrifice her power, basically.
I totally agree with that. But I also think there's an underlying tone of deep down in her soul, she knows he's right.
And I think that's what Tyrion thinks, you know? And I think that this is, and he immediately, when he realizes that he's not going to be killed here, he exhales.
Grabs a drink.
Right. And he grabs a drink, and it's like this, it's like the old dynamic that it used to be, where like they hated each other, but they'd be sitting there talking with each other and negotiating. And I think that this is the first moment since he escaped from King's Landing, since he was taken into custody, that he's felt safe. Somebody isn't immediately trying to kill him. And he may not know until after he's made a mistake that she was never true with her word.
That's true. So it's very fishy.
It's a pickle.
It's definitely a dill pickle for sure.
It's a pickle. And so this is funny because he's like, you may have known that. And he assumes that Lysa would have told her, because Lysa had let it slip partially that time, right? So he's like, whatever your aunt may have told you, she was a troubled woman. She imagined enemies everywhere. And I thought this was crazy, because this is exactly what he's been telling to Sansa to do. Imagine your enemies. Imagine the worst possible reasons they could have.
Exactly.
You know, imagine what Arya is really here for. He's telling her to imagine enemies everywhere. No wonder Lysa went crazy, you know, with like this type of influence on her.
That's totally true. Sansa's like, protect me. By selling me to the Boltons?
If we could only speak alone, I could explain everything.
Fuck that shit.
Right. It's like with Jorah. Didn't he say that to Danny, right? If we could only speak alone, Khaleesi.
You'll never be alone with her again.
Exactly. You'll never be alone with her again, Littlefinger. Ever. Hopefully.
Unless you're still alive.
Yeah. Right.
That's what you do, isn't it? That's what you've always done. Turn family against family. Turn sister against sisters. That's what you did to our mother.
And Aunt Lysa. And that's what you tried to do to us.
Give me a chance to defend myself. I deserve that.
Yeah. And she's like, fine, try.
I am Lord Protector of the Veil, and I command you to escort me back to the Eyrie. And Lord Royce is like, nope.
Not happening, bro.
Not going to happen, Brosif.
Bronn and Jaime are looking down from the battlements and just at this beautiful image of perfection, of like the epitome of order, all of these unsullied standing in perfect formation, totally still. Remember, like, they'll stand until they die if you order them to, you know what I mean? Like, these guys are so cool. But I mean, although they are a little bit different now that they've been freed, they probably have some sort of autonomy that they've gained from the lax regimentation of being in Meereen, I imagine.
And this is the first time that Jaime and Bronn have seen the Unsullied.
So they're
like, fuck me. She has the Dothraki, which we've seen.
Yeah, just a terrifying, like, chaos personified. And then here, all of a sudden, it's like the total, like, polar opposite.
The structured army.
Yeah, also terrifying.
Yeah.
So cool.
How many barrels? And the soldier says 500. And Bronn looks at him. He's like, get 500 more. Yeah,
double that. We got trouble, boy.
And I love, again, the Dothraki. They just come screaming in.
Yes.
And they, like, funnel through the Unsullied.
How badass is that? Just, like, right through all the gaps and the pathways. And it was just, like, the coolest thing for me. It just demonstrated Danny's mastery over both order and chaos. As we see, right? We see chaos just coming through the order and just the combination of both, and it's total full spectrum domination. Tyrion makes, you know, gives Jon a pretty good couple answers for why people would want to live in in King's Landing, right? There's good work, you know, there's lots more work here, and the brothels are money. You don't get those type
far
of women
outside
the Dreadfort, you know?
When Drogon did that, he was still quite small. Oh, Loki!
Yeah, I'm going to go grab him so he doesn't cheap put him in my shirt. I'll be right back.
Okay. Put him in your shirt.
Okay, so I've got him in my sweatshirt now, so hopefully he'll be quiet.
Hi, Loki.
Hello!
Hello! Littlefinger is trying to lead Sansa to think about, like, critically think about why Arya is here.
This is something else that I thought was interesting too. Your theory that Baelish could be a faceless man. Get this. I was thinking at this point, I was like, is this even Baelish? Or is this Arya posing as Baelish, testing Sansa's loyalties?
Oh shit.
Like,
I didn't even think of that.
Yeah, talking to Sansa, seeing if she's like willing to betray Jon, doing her own recon to see, you know, to see if Sansa's really on her side or if Sansa needs to be dealt with. It's pretty crazy, right?
I like that. If it looks like a duck and walks like a duck, it is a duck, but then there's like something off about that duck.
Right.
You know, it's like not quite that character anymore. I've done plenty of things that I regret.
Yeah. And Theon's like, yeah, not compared to me, man. And he agrees.
Dude.
He's like, no.
No, not compared to you.
I always wanted to do the right thing, be the right kind of person, but I never knew what that meant. It always seemed like there was an impossible choice I had to make. Just like Jaime, man, you know, caught between oaths. Except, whereas Jaime tried to make the best of those decisions and, like, I think did the best he could, like, killing the king was the best choice in that scenario. Theon makes the bad decisions And I thought this was really very mature of John and very beautiful sentiment from John. And instead of using Ned's memory just to scold Theon and berate him and make him look like an asshole, instead he's using Ned's memory for inspiration and showing Theon, just like in life, how Ned would have done, to bring him to the right path and tell him to, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you're a Greyjoy. And you're a Stark. And I loved that line. Yes. Because I think about it from John being a Stark and a Targaryen.
Oh yeah, true.
You know, it's totally. Like you're both. It's okay to be proud that you're a Greyjoy and know that that's where you come from. But it's also okay to identify with being a Stark because you spent your adolescent years growing up with Ned. And you learned a lot from him.
And embracing that influence is okay. You know, like you don't need anything more than that.
Yeah.
Right? You don't have to choose.
My voice totally just cut out when I said, yeah, I don't know if you
heard this. I barely heard anything.
It got caught in my throat.
That's funny.
Like,
eh. Classic. And this is when Euron's greatest weakness becomes his greatest strength.
The ballless wonder. Theon is Theon Greyjoy. He is back.
Yeah, I think that's the perfect way to say it. I think Reek is dead. You know, like
Reek is dead.
Is a season 7 casualty. You know what I mean?
Yesterday he fell in his trampoline. He goes, fucking damn it. And I'm like, oh shit. My God.
That's hilarious.
We're not listening to Duncan and Mommy in the car anymore.
Oh, man. Now they've come together and like literally come together in this episode. And and I don't know if I'll include that. That was a little rough.
Wow.
Maybe I'll just say literally and figuratively. And even in this episode. And and now.
You could put that in the outtakes, though, because that was funny.
Yeah.
And finally, after Arya slits Baelish's throat and he is struggling to talk his last breath, Sansa really dropped the ball by not saying, no need to seize the last word, Lord Baelish. I'll assume it was something clever.
All right, that's our show, episode 109. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Yes, thank you guys so much for sticking with us through the long night. We love all of you.
Indeed. And a huge thank you to John Bailey, the epic voice guy from the Emmy-nominated Honest Trailers, for announcing our show. If you'd like to donate or subscribe to support us, you can go to paypal.me/gompodcast or patreon.com/gompodcast to donate an amount of your choosing. There are links to both at gameofmicrophones.com.
Doing some online shopping? Go to gameofmicrophones.com and click on our link to Amazon. As an Amazon associate, we earn from qualifying purchases.
Any contribution you make helps, and you can help secure the continued existence of Game of Microphones. We'd like to thank our patrons, Sir Matthew of House Rep, Lady Lucy of House Roberts, Lady Candace of House Twos, Lady Terry of House Theodore, Lord Jeff of House Allen, Sirenicide, Lord John of House Grills, Lord Jeremiah of House Carpenter, and Luke, the Low Duke. Thank you guys so much. We love you and appreciate your patronage. And another huge thank you to Lord Bryson of House Wolf for your contributions as well. And make sure to check out Sirenicide, the serialized horror drama podcast featuring me and Archmaester Stitches. Go to Sirenicide.com and download it wherever you get your podcasts.
We also want to give a huge thanks to Lady Lisa of House Sky, Pie Romancer. She has been amazing behind the scenes working to get our website Game of Microphones up and running.
Mm-hmm.
She's also an incredibly skilled artist, so check out her amazingly illustrated book, The People You May See, available now on Amazon.com. It's Prime eligible too, so you'll get it super fast.
Yeah.
You can check all her work out at fineartsbylisa.com. She's also on Instagram and Facebook/fineartsbylisa. We love you, girl.
Definitely. And I've got an Lisa Sky original that's up on display on the Game of Microphones set. So as we go into our live broadcasting.
Awesome.
Yeah. So when we're doing our podcasts during season 8 and you can see the Game of Microphones studio, keep your eye out for the picture of Drogon on the wall. That's a Lisa Sky original. It's awesome.
I love it. That's amazing.
Oh, yeah. Next episode, we'll be covering the premiere episode of the final season of Game of Thrones.
I'm so excited.
The name of which is as of yet unknown. In other words, an episode has no name.
Oh my God.
Thus far. We'll be doing live shows immediately following the episode, as well as studio produced episodes like this during the week between the new episodes. So that means double the material for you guys. And it's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to have some really cool guests and a lot of new faces appearing regularly on the show. And it's going to be a lot of fun, guys. So we're looking forward to experiencing the new season with you guys. Yes, cannot wait. So make sure to tune in next Sunday, April 14th at 9 p.m. Eastern to HBO to watch the premiere of the final season of Game of Thrones and send us your thoughts. We'd love to read them on air. If you'd like to call, you can always call us at 813-563-3739. That's 813-JOFFREY.
If you would like to write in, you can email us at ravens@gameofmicrophones.com.
Check out our Facebook page at facebook.com/GOM podcast.
Imslap. You can also listen to Game of Microphones on YouTube, BitChute, and Steemit. Just search for Game of Microphones to find our channel. Likes, comments, and shares are appreciated.
We're also on Twitter, Instagram, Gab, and Minds at GOM podcast.
And we're on Tumblr too at Game of Microphones.
All right, that's our show.
Thanks for listening. I didn't believe it until I saw them. I saw them all.
How many?
100,000 at least.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.